بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سيد الشاب أمي الله الصادق رحمة الله عليه. If the person that could draw our hadith from, he in turn had learnt under Abu Tahir Madani. What his ustad says that أخذ مني اللفظ وأخذت منه المعنى. That the word of the hadith he learned from me. But the explanation, the understanding, and the application I learned from him. So you can understand the greatness of the person that the teacher says that he just learned the word from him. But the exact meaning of the hadith, application, how it works, right, that's a different thing altogether. I sell you a machinery, right? And you got the machine, but I don't know how to use the machine. So, can you find the value of the machine when you don't know how it works? Right. You get to know the value of the machine if you know exactly how it works. So now, this was the Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the understanding of deen that he possessed. He knew which hadith has to be applied in which place, in which manner. That's the kamal of the man. And when we learn hadith right throughout India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and nowadays nearly all Western countries, wherever hadith is being taught, all are linking up with Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib. It's not for 1 year, from the time he passed away, from that time till now. So you're counting approximately three and a half centuries, that person's acceptance is such a level that everybody that is learning it internationally is linking up with Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah says, this, what we are doing, the tasawwuf, the skiya, this is the ruh. And without this, it's kajismin bila ruh. Without this dimension of deen, it is the skiya, purification of the soul, getting your akhlaq right, it's like kajasadin bila ruh. The body is there, but it's a lifeless body. Is there any benefit? The body, there may be some, perhaps, some iota of life, the person is on a life support. But I ask you, Mulana, you know, I want someone to teach. Can you get the person? Why? He's struggling for life. There's nothing in him. So this, the soul brings about the life, brings about the life in the world. Now when it brings about the life, you understand the position of it. So therefore they say, when embarking onto this, then you need to cover at least, or you need to see to three things. One is, get your beliefs right. You can't now say, I'll get the beliefs right later on, let me do this first, can't do that. Then it'll just be a spiritual experience. They'll ask you to make some zikr, and in that zikr you may experience some things, and that experience will be your deen. So it's no deen really, it is just an experience, and you make some zikr and you will definitely find some type of an experience, some feeling you'll find. So you renounce the world and you're going towards the akhirat, you will definitely find some experience. So this person's deen will be just that inner satisfaction, that spiritual experience, and nothing beyond that spiritual experience. So then the whole deen becomes just an experience. So if I experience something, then I say, no, I am progressing. And I didn't experience it, I'm not progressing. So it revolves around experiences, it will revolve around some dream, some experience, nothing beyond that. This is life. This is the life in the body. And we're reducing it just to some type of a spiritual experience is not fair. They say there were three friends that were traveling, Muslim, a Jew, and a Christian. So someone gave them a nice tray of food, all the delicacies, 5-star, all the extras, everything. But he says, all right, only one person must eat of this food. All cannot enjoy it. It's one person. That's the nazar I made. I made a vow that only one person must eat of this food. Now, the food was too tempting. Now, each one wants to grab the thing. He must enjoy it. More especially when they are a little bit hungry as well. And the food is also tempting. So each person says that I must be the lucky person that will enjoy. So they agreed, the person who has the best spiritual experience, he is going to eat of it. So anyway, by the morning the Jew says, you know what? I met Musa alayhi salam in the sixth heaven. Right? And Musa alayhi salam says, in this zamana you are the best person. So now, if I'm eligible, came to the Christian, he says, I saw Isa alayhi salam in the second heaven, and he says, you are my man. You are, all people, you are my man. So now, as though he's alluding to that I am the favorite, and I must enjoy this meal. Now, it's the turn of the Muslim to say, what was his experience? So he says, you know what, I'm too afraid of explaining the experience that I had. I saw Malakul Maut. And Malakul Maut told me, you better eat this. I had no choice. You know what could be the consequence. I had no choice, I had just eat of that. So the Jew and the Christian jumped. He said, well, then why didn't you call for us at least? You could have come and interceded or stopped Malakul Maut. So no, I came to look for you, but you were in the seventh sixth, and you were the second sixth. You were the sixth guy, and you were the second guy. How could I have reached you? See now, the whole deal will become a joke. If it is just about some spiritual experience, and the root, the essence of the whole thing is lost, then you have lost the whole thing. So this brings you to the essence. But it says now to get there, first is get your beliefs right. I'm getting a group of people who say, see in beliefs, there's three classes of people. One say there is no such a thing like the afterlife, no hereafter. It used to happen amongst the Christians. And now, unfortunately, you're getting amongst us also who don't want to believe in the hereafter as the hereafter, how we believe. Then you're getting a second group who say that the hereafter is just a spiritual experience. Nothing beyond a spiritual experience, nothing. It's not a physical experience. I know in the 70s when we were studying in Deoband, one sheikh came from Cape Town. And he's impressing upon us that the life after death is just a spiritual experience. So you see, this group exists. Maulana Ibrahim Adam, originally from Durban, and he moved away to Cape Town. So he had to conscientize by there is a thing, life after death is a reality, is more than physical, not physical, more than physical. Inna dara al-akhirata Lahiya al-hayawan. Real life starts there. People say that life starts at 40. No. Life starts from the tabar. Before this, it's not aish. La aisha illa aishul akhira. The real life starts from death. That's the real. So irrespective of how long you lived, what is to be seen is how you died. Be thinking now how he's living and how his life must be right. Zindagi sahi ho jaye. We say his death must be right. If he battled, struggled, and he pulled through, but he died well, then the entire world can't be the price. Can't be the price. And on the contrary, he lived 5-star, 10-star, he lived everything, all the enjoyments, right? All the wealth, all the security. But he didn't die right. So kya mila? What did he get? Nothing, absolutely nothing. So the most important thing is how you died. And this is where we need to look. The people are praising me, they're talking, and I'm enjoying all of these I'm getting. But I need to see how I die. That's the important thing. So you see, so there's one group that rejects the hereafter, and the other, second group says it's just a spiritual thing. And we say, no, it's real. It's real, and it's more than real. Inna dar al-akhirata lahiya al-hayawan. That's the real life. See the emphasis, lahiya al-hayawan. That is the real life. So, someone had lost his son yesterday, or it was perhaps on Thursday or Wednesday, he phoned up, you know. But then, by, what's the need to worry so much? Right? You feel hurt. Only son you had is gone. You feel hurt. That's natural. But it's not something to, you know, the end of the world. It's not a train smash. It's not a big deal that. Because now he is in a realm that he doesn't want to return. The realm that he is in now, compared to this world, right, is like the world compared to the womb. Right. Now, you're healthy, strong, fat, right? And someone tells you, you want to return back to the womb, that life. Right? So this world, compared to the next life, the life after that, is that. It's like the world compared to the womb. There's movement, there's excitement, there's activity, there's everything that you can think of, it's there. Everything that you can think of is there. Someone was asking me some days back, will we get to meet people? Yeah, we like friends. Probably like friends, meet up, socialize, party, right? So I said, bye. That also in Jannat, muttaqiina alayha mutaqabil. Aamne saamne, tere ghar ke saamne. We are together, eating, enjoying. I'm also relaxing, you relaxing. Muttaqiina alayha. They are relaxing on couches and facing each other, talking to each other, talking, enjoying. They kind of Gujarati and Urdu and Zulu there. All will be speaking Arabic. But what about our Gujarati and Urdu? No, no, that sleeping outside, all of us will be talking pure Arabic. So that's real life. And the life is so interesting, so exciting, that one of the things that makes this life unpleasant is the fear of death, isn't it? Some janaza went, someone that you know, motor car accident, then you see the parting ways, right? Suffering, perhaps that cancer, and then fourth stage, and then out. Don't we hear these things here? And then when he gets into cancer, then the whole house, the whole family, all are on the edge now. Ajkal, what's going to happen today, tomorrow, what's going to happen? They're all on the edge. And then, but just yesterday I spoke to the person, it's gone today. So, death is a reality, it's not supposed to be the shocker. The shocker is supposed to be still alive. When there's so many elements for you not to be alive, and you're still alive, hey, that's shocking. But you went, that's natural, that's supposed to be, and that's the way to go, right? So, when you get into that life, ان المتقین فی مقام امین. That's a place of absolute security. لا يموت فیها, no death. Allah Pak will bring death on the day of Qiyamah, موت, right? See what we talk about here as things that are abstract, not visible, not tangible, right? In the next realm, they become tangible, they become things that you can see. Namaz, what you did here, in the Qadr, becomes such a beautiful, sweet friend, you don't want to leave him. He's sweet, sweet smelling, so beautiful, that it makes you forget all the friendship. And it's all friendship here, and just you jump on that side, and you forgot about it. One person is telling me that they wanted to see their father after he passed away, right? You know, after a couple of days or so. But the father is so interesting in looking at his jannat. He doesn't look at his child for 1 minute. Oh, alright. Hey, leave me now. It's so interesting. It's so exciting. It's so attractive. So admirable. You just want to see and go on seeing. Everything else is forgotten. That's jannat. Fi maqamin amin. In a place of absolute security, place of absolute peace, secure now. So Allah Ta'ala will bring death in a form of a white and black lamb, right? And then it will be slaughtered. And it will be told, announced, Ya Ahl al Jannah, Hayat Da'iman. People of Jannah, now you will live perpetual. They will be so excited at that moment, so excited at that moment. Hey, now we're living in Ridwanu min Allah wa Fadl, as it is Allah that is pleased. And then the cherry on the top is this life is perpetual, there's no end to this. See, they'll be so excited, that if there was death, then their hearts would have burst with excitement. So what excitement will be at that moment? And when that announcement is made, Ya Ahl al-Jannah, al-Hayat, Hayat Da'iman. And Ya Ahl al-Nar, al-Hayat Da'iman. You also going to be perpetual there. There is no return from Jahannam. There, roasting and toasting and eternity. See that if there was life after death, or death after that, then that person's heart would have burst with terror, horror, and grief, pain will go through. I knew, even if after 50 million years there's going to be an end to this, at least there would have been some sort of relaxation. Well, I know he's going to live 50 gazillion, trillion years, but there's no end to this, and can understand the extent of his grief, his pain, his anguish, what's going to be there? So that life is the real life. This is just a probationary life. Just to try you out. وَلِيُمَحْيِصَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. To try you out. See, you say that you love. But then Allah has got the right to try you out. Doesn't he have the right? You say that you love. Then doesn't he have the right? He's buying you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He's buying you out. When he's buying you out, then the person that is buying out doesn't have the right to get twist you out. You're selling your business for 20 million rand, right? I'm interested. So, don't I have the right to go and see the feasibility, the right business, what is the prospects, your books, your business records for the last 10 years, what is the market like, standing presently, is it worth this investment or not worth? Isn't it, don't I have the right to go and inspect this? So I'll do the inspection after all my inquiry, then I'll make the confirmation. So Allah Ta'ala is buying you out. So doesn't Allah Ta'ala have the right now to test your mettle, to check you out? Alright, this person is saying that he's loyal, he's faithful, he's loving Allah Ta'ala. So I need to buy him out. I can't buy something reject, something deficient. So Allah Ta'ala is going to put you into trials. Sometime in prosperity, adversity, sickness, death, life, all things gonna happen, and he's gonna see now how firm you stand. Then he says, Inna abdi hada abdi haqqan. This is my true servant. He doesn't flinch for a moment. He's there with me. He's there with me always. You want the same thing from your wife. Same thing you want. If she comes in after marriage and she says, you know, the 7 days in the week. So, Lavi, 6 days I'll be with you. So one day I'll be with my former boyfriend. Acceptable. Is it negotiable? Huh? But you're so selfish, so possessive, you're so jealous over me. Only one day I'm asking, 6 days I'll give you. Do you negotiate this term? So doesn't Allah Ta'ala have the right to say, I want you, مخلصين له الدين ما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء. I want you and I want you entirely. So you saying that I'm saying namaz, إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا. So doesn't Allah have the right then? He wants you, he wants your pure metal, undiluted, not mixed up, pure. So you see the second level, I showed you the iman, right? You get all the aqaid right. After the aqaid, then the second thing that is required is get your amal right. Because inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. First was get all your belief right. Right? Get your beliefs right. The second level was get your amal right. That's why every way the Quran. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Every year. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Right. So after you got your belief right, then work on your amal. Because that's the currency. In that life, that's the currency. You want to buy things, Ibrahim alayhi salam is conveying a message, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ قِيَامٌ وَشَجَرُهَا وَغِرَاسُهَا Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Now that is plain. But you want the thing to flourish, you want gardens, and even palaces, then Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Eat this. This is the flourishing, this is the garden of Jannah. Recite that. So you have to get the amal right. Right. Then the amal has got two dimensions. The one dimension of amal is the physical dimension, namaz, etc. Right? That's the one dimension. Get that right. And the other dimension of amal is the inner dimension. Inner dimension is get the sifat right. Sifat means your characteristics. Are you sincere? Are you appreciative? Are you humble? Are you content? Do you have jealousy? Are you malicious? Do you have greed? Are you a subject? Are you a victim of pride, of self-admiration, ostentation? So, amal got two sides. One is the zahir, one is the batin, and both need to be corrected for your amal to be right. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So get your imaniyat right first. Then get your amal right. Right. That's the second level. And the third thing that you need to get right for you to be able to progress in this path. Right? Then people have innovated wrong customs, innovations, right? Wrong things, right? So you need to be able to separate things. There's wrong customs, there's wrong innovations, the wrong things that have come in, and I need to separate things, issues I need to separate, right? So, now, this innovation, one we know it's wrong, right? And one is the customary things that we come across. So in the customary things also, we need to correct ourselves, the customs right. Now, it's a wedding, and he's splashing 100,000 rands. This one is splash on a wedding, right? So he says, no, I can afford it very well. It's not something that I'm going to eat into my capital. I got so much of money. So I spent about 100,000 rands, so what's wrong? See what the hadith says. The hadith says, إِنَّ فِي الْوُدُوءِ صَرَفًا. Even in wudu there's going to be extravagance. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ عَلَى شَطِّ نَهْرٍ جَارٍ. Even if you are on the bank of a flowing river, then too the hadith is telling you, by, you be cautious how you're using the water. It doesn't mean that water is freely available and you can use it indiscriminately. You can't say that. That reasoning is wrong. That I got the wealth, so then I can use it however I want. No. See that man is making wuzu on the bank of the river. And then too, he says, see, don't waste that water. So, even more it will be applicable to your customary things. You can't say, no, I'm a wealthy person, so I can. Yes, you can spend according to your standard and your status, right? But not extravagance. For extravagance, how you'll make out? Extravagance you make out. Now, you're more concerned of the family status and name. People, what will they see? How will I look? How will I appear amongst people? So that's the greater concern. And you're splashing away money. So that is also israf. La yuhibbul muslimin, Allah doesn't like, love them. See how Allah says, straight, I don't love you. Imagine you work everything, at the end, you said in the khutbah today, وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَّةً. Did everything. Allah says, hey, I don't need you. Then, كَا فَيْدَا. لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. And it is such a foolish thing to do things just for people's satisfaction. So in India, there is a cult, right? You get this caste system. So you get one class that are very wealthy. But proportionate to the wealth is the miserliness also. How wealthy they are, proportionately they are so miserly. So now, as his daughter was getting married, so he says, see, I got so much of money for mine. Every guest that has come, attended the wedding, I'm giving them money, gold coin. One gold coin, how much I think is that? Imagine, one gold coin, a couple of thousand rands, right? Every guest, 1,000 guests, each one is getting. So old days, you're moving with carts, you know, horse and cart. So the one cart driver is talking to the next one, hey, this wedding is one of its kind, you know. Every guest got a gold coin. So the other cart driver is swearing, you know, in Urdu, swearing him. Sohare kahenge, a stupid, right? So much of treasure is given, he's got, he has so much of wealth. If he gave 10 to each person, will his treasures have been depleted? Hey, he says, I did so much, it'll be not working. You know, I thought I'd get a name, people talk about me. And I gave a gold coin to everybody that attended the nikah of my daughter. But that also didn't work out. So that's why I say, if you're doing things for people to recognize and acknowledge, it's just a waste of time. Just do it on the sunnah, simple way, leave the customs out, and see now, is this acceptable? Is Allah Pak likes it or not? Allah Pak, please.